Remember, Vincent got there at 9:30, and I don't know if there was a communication breakdown this morning. Be that as it may, we can start. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me? Good enough. I like my better because okay. Honourable members, let's welcome the Department of Communication led by Ishi Segesa and her capable team. I should up front, Mr. Gale, express the anger of the committee about how you treat this committee. You were invited. You didn't come. I think I sent you a message and said it's not a message. But I just want to say upfront, the committee invite people gracefully, you know, to come to appear before the committee, because it's the duty of the department to appear before the committee. I didn't know that the PG has the right to choose not to appear before the committee if she so chooses. But the committee as well may, if the person does not want to appear before the committee, summon the person. I'm just in terms of the rules of but in terms of the rules of Parliament, in terms of the powers and privileges Act of Parliament, in terms of the Public Finance Management Act, the committee can summon any person. Maybe the committee, maybe was too generous, did not prove to, I mean, did not want to implement that. Well, I preside here on behalf of the honorable members. If they advise otherwise, I will not want to call it, take the steps to do that. But I think that for me, I didn't like the situation where the PG does she or he wishes. I think that that is the undermining of Parliament. I thought that was the undermining of Parliament. In fact, I wanted Parliament to prevail by applying the laws applicable to it in terms of the summoning. But that was called in fact, I think that the committee decided to not to apply that not to use that privilege, not a privilege, but that right to someone. So today you're here. In fact, we convey the message to the minister because we felt that here the teaching is really undermining Parliament. You know, we invited, doesn't want to come, and the thing stays like that. In terms of the government, Section 56 of the Constitution, says National Assembly or any of its committees may summon any person to appear before it to give evidence on oath or affirmation or to produce documents. May require B, require any person or institution to report to it. C, compel in terms of national legislation or rules and orders any person or institution to comply with the summons. I'm saying we didn't take this option. This one option that was available to Parliament, we did not take it. But I must indicate that, you know, we didn't really take kindly to a PC that we invite to appear to account on the activity of her department, and the PG elects not to come, not to appear before the committee. But we are here today, and maybe let's make a progress. We have invited the department to appear before the committee because of persistent understanding by the department, and there are some of the projects that have been outstanding maybe before the current PG joined the department, which have been budgeted for and not implemented. Now, the TFMA, not the TFMA, but I think this committee is also responsible for monitoring and evaluation. And I think that, honourable members, maybe it's important to say evaluate some of the projects, whether they are still necessary. Because if the department budgets for a project in a program, and it doesn't, the system does not implement that program. In fact, I'm trying to check maybe Ms. Moore, if you could help for the issue of rollovers, not rollovers, but consistent budgeting for a project that is not implemented. I think it is against the PSMA, but I'm just trying to find the exact clause in the PSMA that says that it is wrong to. Whether it's the treasury rules or in the what you call it.
Chair, yes, it is not within the PMI, but the rules that we apply through the treasury regulations, yes, allows that the money that is rolled over must be spent within the year that for which it is rolled over, so that the double rollover money is not supported, and it has to be an exemption if that is provided.
Thank you for that. But the part of it is that the programs that are rolled over are those programs that have capacity to create jobs for the people. And they seem to be the ones that are suffering. For instance, the department has continuously budgeted for the call center project. I think for the past two budgets, and continuously, the project has not been implemented. And it's one project that one thought that would also be able to contribute to job creation. Then the one that I suppose is supposed to be the flagship of the department, the infrastructure and development.
You know, teacher, yesterday?
Not yesterday. Yeah, yesterday as well, just making a reference. But it's something that I understand that the principles that treasury works, apply. When, for instance, it's allocating resources and... am I audible?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. I think the principle that the National Treasury applies when allocating resources, and it's a principle that obviously for those people who work in finances would also implement if it was in the same boots as National Treasury. When people budget and don't make use of that, of those resources, we are really going through times when the economy doesn't grow. It's being continuously being revised down. But for those of us who are given the responsibility to implement, but do not make use of the resources that are given to them. Now,
see that there was a saving of 58 million rand have been declared in program 5, which I say is supposed to be your flagship program. It's got the biggest, not the biggest budget, but maybe the second biggest budget. But it revised down. And this can only happen because we don't spend it. And also yourselves have taken money from this, 150 million. But I think that you must understand that it is not very, what you call it, impressed by how you relate yourself to the department and how the department itself, I mean, how you relate to Parliament and how the department itself performs. Maybe I think that the committee, we have a responsibility to recommend to Parliament in terms of the budget. And I think that the department like yourself is supposed to be assisting us do that. But if we're not getting cooperation, it means that we must make our own article in the division. But let me invite you to address the committee. I think that you're struggling to hear me. Let us sort out this so that we can all be audible, you know. Hello? Hello?
Yes.
Is it fine now, darling? Yes. Is it better?
Yes.
Someone who can hear me?
Yes.
No, clear?
Yes.
Okay.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Before I introduce the team from the department, I want to humbly apologize for the fact that I was not able to appear at the last meeting that I was called. But I also want to thank the Honorable Chairperson for the word of discipline. You know, there's a saying that when your parent disciplines you in the African culture, it's in your interest. In terms of building you as a person, I humbly want to thank the Honorable Chairperson for your harsh words of correction. But I also want to confirm, Honorable Chairperson, that the words will go into correcting me, but also building me as a person to be a better person. But also to commit and confirm that in future I would endeavor to ensure that I appear whatever other concerns that I would have. This would be one priority that I would ensure, you know, that I would ensure that I do appear. But to thank you very much for your words of wisdom and words of correction. But I thought that let me introduce the team first before you go to the presentation.
Good morning, Chair, Honorable Members. My name is Sam Vilagazi, Deputy Director General for Administration. Moninga. My name is Robert Chota from Director Finance Jury. Morning, Chair, dear honorable members. My name is Rabola Sodal, Director of Finance, DOG.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Paul Dobella. I'm Chief Director of Communications for the Department of Communications. Thank you.
Morning, members and Chair. My name is Nos Malanga, the Department of Communication and Shareholder Management Unit. Sorry? Shareholder.
Thank you, Chairperson. Morning, honorable members. My name is Zulisa Abadia. I'm the parliamentary liaison for the Deputy Minister of Communications.
Morning, Chairperson. I am Dambolekwa. I'm also from the Office of the Deputy Minister.
I didn't hear someone from CFO, you know. I didn't hear. I thought Ubabu Vilakazi would talk about, but I hear there's a director for finance. Can you just clarify that first?
Honorable Chair, the CFO vacant, position is vacant at the moment. It is a chief director position which has been advertised, and the department is planning to appoint before end of the financial year, Chair.
You can continue. The members are listening, that is intending to appoint. There's no CFO vacant, intending to appoint before the end of the financial year. Financial year ends on the 31st of March, 2026. Fine. So we may continue.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. The presentation is structured as follows. This is in response to the invitation letter. The first matter that we'll be dealing with is with regard to the non-completion of the 112 emergency call center. Chairperson, I just want to apologize. There seems to be something, I don't know whether it's the connection of the computer, and the screen seems to be going yellow and, yeah, but it seems fine now. The first issue for clarification is with regard to the 112 emergency call center. The second one is the shifting of funds. The fourth one is the environment. Number five is the expenditure. Number six is the transfer to SOEs and subsidies. I think we've dealt with the delegation. The next issue, I think, another question, because maybe I've difficult for you to look at the issue, is maybe just to deal with the introduction. The department has been allocated a budget of 1.7 billion for the year 2012-2013, and then during the adjustment estimate, the department made submission to Treasury with regard to the funding of the African Cup of Nations, as well as other projects. I just want to emphasize, Honorable Chairperson, that the African Cup of Nations is not a project that was initiated by the department, but it's a project initiated by the Department of Sports and Recreation. However, because during the AFCON, same as during the 2010 FIFA World Cup, there is a requirement to ensure that the ICT and services, especially from a broadcasting point of view, are made available, and therefore, as a department, we are also expected to ensure that through our SOEs, we do provide the necessary broadcasting services, both, say, for example, from the ICASA regulatory and from the SABC, which is the broadcasting
or from Telkom with regard to the provision of the infrastructure. But we would address how the AFCON allocation is being addressed. The second issue, Honourable Chairperson, is with regard to the 112 emergency call centre and the broadband allocation that will reprioritise the fund AFCON, the TT awareness, establishment of the set-top box testing facilities. The set-top box testing facilities is a facility that is required for the broadcasting data migration project. National Shared Services requested that the department surrender 58 million from 112 call centre as part of the savings, an additional 1.6 million that was allocated through adjustment budget for salary adjustment. Now, with regard to the expenditure, as of 30 September 2012, it amounted to 768 million, which represents 46% of allocation. On that note, Honourable Chairperson, I just want to request Deputy Director General, Mr. Dr. Sam Villagasi, just to take us through some of the presentation. Thank you.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Once again, perhaps before we go into the details of the presentation, Chair, I think it's important to mention that in as much as we do make attempts as a department to try and spend money on the projects that are reflecting in the business plan, there are some of the challenges that seem to keep on cropping up on some of the projects. For example, looking at a project like broadband, which involves quite a number of parties, which requires a significant amount of funding, which rests on issues around broadband policy, strategy, and implementation plan. Of course, all the key parties have to be considered, and as a result, it becomes then very difficult to, even though the allocation is on the table or the money is on the table, to then take that money and spend, because then halfway through you realize that you are dealing with a half-baked kind of a project. Rather, take a step back, do the proper thing, get the policy right, get the plan right, get the strategy right, and so on. So I just wanted to make that a point to the committee. We do also acknowledge as a department also that there is pressure on the fiscal, and as a result, funding has to be found from within the programs in the department, as opposed to looking only to treasury to get funding. So those, some of the things that I'm mentioning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, they contribute to the non-movement of some of the projects. If I could proceed to slide number 5, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members.
The person is saying, amongst other reasons why they cannot move on this project, then program is because there are a number of issues. Can you repeat that? The stakeholders issues.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member, for the question. The broadband involves a number of players. First of all, the department, as the lead player, is the custodian of the policy on broadband. Of course, the policy was developed at some point. Unfortunately, it had to go through a review process, which is almost at its finality. The next issue is around the strategy on the rollout of broadband and the implementation plan. Now, looking at the players involved, we're looking at, for example, Broadband Infraco, which is housed under DPE, which is a player in the space. We're also looking at Telkom, which is also a player. Centec is also an envisaged player under this. So what the department did, in fact, I must also mention that CETA also plays a role, which is housed under the DPSA. What the department did was to then look at the policy at the time, the policy which is currently or which was at the table at the time, to say, is this policy taking us to the vision that was outlined the 2020 vision of, I mean, the vision of rolling 100% broadband by 2020. And looking at that policy, of course, the welcome gaps. And the next step that then followed was to look at the policy review with the view that once the policy has been reviewed, the strategy will then kick in and the implementation plan. And therefore, the approach that was then proposed was that let's rather consolidate so that when we implement, we do not have a situation whereby the Department of Communications is running with something, Centec is running with something else, CETA is running with its own, Broadband Infraco is running with something different and so on. As we speak, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, the Minister took a lead in terms of making sure that we bring all the pieces together so that at the end, when we talk 100% broadband penetration by 2020, all the parties know exactly what needs to happen and who plays what role. As we are speaking, Honorable Chair, yesterday the Minister of Communications held a workshop with the key players in the industry to then bring all these pieces together, because there have been some work going on behind the scenes, of course, as well as involving some other key departments like the Department of Trade and Industry, DST and so on. So the final product or the outcome of that process would be a process that will then take the country forward with regard to 100% broadband penetration by 2020, which will also not only consolidate plans, but it will also consolidate funding. That's why then the view was that instead of then taking the 100 million and plugging it there, where we're not very clear, let's rather have this this integrated process. And I think one thing that I also need to mention to the committee is that the complexity around broadband is also brought by the fact that the municipalities as well as the provincial governments in some parts of the or in parts of the country have had their plans and they already started implementing the broadband rollout. And the question that has been asked by the municipalities as well as the provincial government was that what it is the national government is doing, how we fit into the whole scheme. And this is where then the view was that let's rather consolidate so that when we roll out when the implementation takes place in the country, everyone is very clear. Municipalities know exactly what role they need to play. Provinces know exactly what role they need to play. And the national players, they are also properly positioned so that we all work towards the same goal. And that's why the 100 million that was allocated for broadband could actually not be spent. There were some plans, for example, to perhaps look into pilots, but the view that we took was that we need to perhaps minimize the use of pilots, because you may find that with a pilot, you just take 100 million and almost plug it there, and later on you realize that you did not really get the maximum impact. So those are some of the complexities, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, around some of the key projects such as broadband. I hope I've clarified the issue that the Honorable Member raised, Honorable Chair.
There will be an opportunity for more clarity. Remember that we are not the portfolio committee, so we may not be that familiar with what you say, but the member will get another chance. You may proceed.
Honorable Chair, if we move to page number 5, which deals with the non-completion of the 112 emergency call center, it is indeed correct that the department has been allocated or are allocated 123 million for the call center in the current financial year. The project was put out on tender as a PPP or public-private partnership. I must indicate, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, that one of the key things with the PPPs is that there is a requirement to have transactional advisors on board. That also has its own process, because you have to advertise, go on an open tender, evaluate and appoint a transaction advisor before you can actually go into the actual appointment of a service provider. The transaction advisors were brought on board through that open tender process. And as we speak, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, the tender is currently being evaluated, and service provider is coming on board from the 1st of December. I must mention that Deloitte is assisting with this project as the transaction advisor. So it's just more the process issues around how PPP projects are handled, Honorable Chair. On the issue of, I must mention, Chair, that we have crafted the presentation to meet the requirements of the committee so that we address the issues that the committee raised in the letter. In terms of the shifting of funds, there was an amount of 20 million, which was then shifted from the 112 Emergency Call Center to cover for the establishment of the set-top box testing facility, which is housed under the South African Bureau of Standards. One of the critical or one of the key considerations behind shifting this money, Honorable Chair, was that as you go through the processes, for example, I did mention that with the group B project, you have to get a transaction advisor, do an open tender process, then you issue a tender, then you evaluate it and things like those. Then when you look at the money that you have, you then begin to realize that you would not necessarily be able to spend that which has been allocated, and therefore we then had to look at what are the key and critical projects so that as opposed to just hanging around with the money, we look at how we can then shift the money to projects that are more urgent and that are very critical. And I must indicate that this set-top box testing facility talks to the digital migration, which we are currently busy with, which the minister launched about a month or two ago in the Northern Cape. So basically, it's one of the critical projects which is going to be moving on full steam as the country is preparing to migrate from analog to digital broadcasting. On the subject of the environment, Honorable Chair, which is slide number 7, the department requested approval to environment 100 million, which is the allocation that was meant for broadband, which I spoke of earlier on, and 44.413 million from 112 emergency call center as follows. I think the Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, the Director General spoke earlier on about the African Cup of Nations, which will be hosted in the country in 2013 January, that there was a need to assist our entities to be able to make sure that this cup is a success. There was 65 million which was acquired by the SABC, which had to be found from within. There was 16 million from ICASA, for ICASA, which is also meant for AFCON. I must indicate, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, that we did have an engagement with National Treasury on this, and given the pressure on the fiscals, which is almost affecting all departments, we then collectively took a view that we have to find money from within as opposed to then looking for new money. And of course, there was a project of about 10 million which dealt with a transition advisory for Telkom. It was around the KT deal.
I think it could be useful if you say we took 65 million rand to SABC, but you also tell us where you took this 65 million rand.
Sure. Honorable Chair, that will assist the committee just to see how we have moved the funds. If I can start with the 100 million, the 65 million as well as the 16 million, in fact the 65 was taken from broadband as well as the 16, then there's 10 million transaction advisory for Telkom, which is also coming from that figure, the 6 million as well as the 3 million. The 44 million for DTT awareness comes from the 112, which had an allocation of 123 million, and the 58 million, which is also coming from the 112, is a saving which was requested by Treasury to assist with the public service salary adjustment in the public service. So that is the breakdown of where the money went. If we could go on the expenditure, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, as at 30th September 2012, which is the end of the...
Are we going to see that information somewhere in the presentation?
it was not difficult to grasp everything that was saying in terms of moving money from one program to another. Is it somewhere so that I don't ask you, or it's not available at all?
You know, the 54 million for DTE awareness campaign, what is DTE? Is it a pesticide or?
So if it's not, please go slowly, 65, you took it to where, and just do that for me.
David, yes, just please explain that. I think that the way you started, maybe that way. Can clarify from the 100 tranches, because I've calculated the 100 tranches total.
You're saying mustard, I think they must start from 100 million, and then they must tell us where it came from, and where there are some places where we don't know where the money comes from. So the mustard may be easy for us. They are saying 65 million to SAPD and 15 million to Nkana. Are they talking about 100 million? Is this 65 to SAPC from that 100 million? So it must be very clear for us.
Oh, you're quite right, comrades. Those monies, those small monies, is that 100 million that they're talking about?
So we just wanted to change the amount so that it becomes easy for the committee to be able to follow. The figure of 100 million is what was allocated to roll out broadband in the current financial year. And as I did mention that we could not roll out the broadband, so the money had to be redirected to these activities. The first activity being the 65 million for African Cup of Nations, which went to the SADC, the 16 million to ICAVA, the 10 million for transaction advisory services in relation to Telkom, the 6 million for ICT colloquium, and the 3 million that is for ICT trade and partnerships. If I could just, the first bullet, the 65 million and the 16 million chair, I think they're straightforward because they talk to the expenses that the two entities will be incurring during the African Cup of Nations. The 10 million, which deals with transaction advisory services, honorable members and chair would recall that there was a transaction on the table between Telkom and KT, which the Minister of Communications had to apply her mind on, and therefore, in order for that to be done, there was a need for transaction advisory services to assist with the transaction, and that's where the money went.
the six million for ICT colloquium, it is a process that if the honorable members and chair would recall that the department sometime in April conducted a policy review conference to look at the current the policy landscape and make a determination what needs to be changed going forward as we, you know, try to acclimatize and adjust to the environment. And of course, the 3 million being the ICT trade and partnerships, we do have partnerships or we do have memberships that we do pay with international organizations as a department. And therefore, there was a shortfall that we had to honor that. Then the 1 and 2, which was allocated 123 million, 44 of that went to DTT awareness campaign. DTT awareness campaign is it talks to migration to digital broadcasting, and therefore awareness campaigns are going to be launched throughout the country, all corners of the country, from village to towns to cities to every corner, to make sure that all citizens are aware of what is DTT is, what it is that it's bringing. I must mention that sometime in September also, the launch was staged in Northern Cape, which was sort of like showcasing this technology, what it is that it's going to bring and so on. The 58 million, which also comes from the 112, it's a saving that had to be surrendered to Treasury to address the some of the salary adjustment in the public service. And of course, the 20 million that I spoke of, it's meant for set-top box testing, which is run by the South African Bureau of Standards. This project also feeds into the DTT, as the honorable members and chair are aware that one of the critical gadgets that the citizens will need to migrate will be the set-top boxes or the decoders to be able to migrate. So this is how the yeah, so this is how the figures are structured, Chair. I'm not too sure if this breakdown assists the committee. Honorable Chair, the next part that we're going to deal with is the expenditure as at 30th September 2012, the members and chair would notice that on the adjusted appropriation, we had to take into account the savings that we had to surrender of 58 million. That's what brought the figure down from 1.7 to 1.6. Administration there with 197, and the actual expenditure 95, followed by international trade, ICT, the fourth one being the SOEs, the infrastructure development at 76, and Presidential National Commission. Out of the figure of 1.6 billion, 763, which then constitutes 46.1%. I think one thing that it will be important to mention is that in terms of the projections that we had up until the second quarter, we met the projections. And I think if the Honorable Chair and Honorable Members would recall that in the same period, in the previous financial year, we were sitting at 28%. And this is one of the areas that we had to look at to say it can never be right that we sit at 28% in the second quarter. So this then shows a significant jump if you do a comparison, Honorable Chair. Moving into the next slide, I think it's just a breakdown per quarter, which still gives the same percentage and the same amount, but then it gives a reflection of what was spent in the first quarter as well as what was spent in the second quarter. So combined, then they give the figures that I presented in the previous slide. This is just once again, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, more of a summary, if I may call that, On the current payments, adjusted appropriations of 137 expenditures 235, transfers and subsidies. This is mainly money that goes to the entities of 1.2 and they spent 526, and take a payment of capital asset 4.8 and 1756, which then brings us to the earlier figure. The next slide, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, deals with just a graphical presentation of exactly the same figures, to show in terms of how where spending was at the 30th of September. The next one deals with the breakdown of the transfers to the entities. If Honourable Member and Chair look under adjusted appropriation, you would see the allocations per entity. These are annual allocations. For example, the SASA was at 59 million, and the USAF set of boxes 230, and so on. So, in terms of the actual the actual transfers, the figures reflect the breakdown there, which reflects 525. And also in terms of the percentages of what has been spent. I must indicate that where the transfers have not been made, for example, it will be in cases where the drawdown schedule, for example, will indicate that the money will be transferred either in October or November, and by the time of reporting, and therefore we would not, for example, look into what was transferred in October and what will then be transferred in November, because those then will form part of the third quarter. The next slide deals with also a graphical presentation of what was transferred to the entities. It's exactly the same figures in terms of what was transferred. And I think then the last slide, Chair, we just thought that would indicate that, in fact, this is a point that we did make earlier on, that given the pressure on the fiscal, which affects almost all the departments, there is a drive at the moment to make sure that we use the money that we have currently prudently, and we just get allocated to critical projects by identifying funding from within, so that we avoid a situation whereby we throw money into projects that are not yet ready. So I think, Chair, that concludes the presentation and gives a picture of where we are as a department. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, DG. Welcome, you were Dwa, because he used to say, Dwa, what? Okay, you are. Honorable Swap. Honorable Fulo.
With all due respect, Chair, this department makes a mockery of budgeting. You know, we sit and then we say, we will allow 100 million of broadband and 112 will get so much. Knowing full well we're not going to be able to do it. But we put it in the budget. And then we say it's the same and we take it back. And then we start thinking about where are we now going to use this money. And we sit and think up programs where we can use the money. Rather than saying to Treasury, take the money back or give it to some other area where we can actually create jobs or can do something with it. Because the performance of this department in terms of the mid-year performance as opposed to the objectives and outputs or proposed outputs is terrible, bad. So they're not performing. And I'm not so sure, Chair, that in terms of PFMA, the broadband money that they've taken away, which I think is a capital expenditure, is a capital item, and then they go and spend it on items which are not capital. They move it to items which are not capital, and I'm not so sure that that is permissible in terms of PFMA, but the Treasury can help us with that. Chair, DTT awareness campaign, 44 million rand they want to spend on that, and they tell us please, when is the digital system likely to be brought into being? In other words, when will it actually be instituted so that we know that? But now we're going to pay 44 million, and we sit with AFCON funding, SABC, SABC gets funds from everywhere.
actually, you know, somebody should have known that AFCON is coming and that the monies are required. But now suddenly because we have a requirement of 100 million, we can now provide money to LABC and to AFCON for AFCON. And it's important that AFCON is a success. We've seen in the newspaper this morning, the chief of soccer didn't pitch at the sports committee meeting. He was in the Sudo apparently. So, you know, we're getting worried about the situation as far as AFCON is concerned, but, you know, I'm not so sure that it's the function of the Department of Communication to make sure that this money goes to LABC and AFCON. And again, if they sit down, because they now have 100 million, and sit down and say, well, let's see, where are we going to put this money now? What are we going to do with it? And then sync up a few programs with what they can do. Sorry, Chip, but, you know, they make a mockery of the budgeting process.
Along with Honorable Sir. Dr. Vilaga says they are 46% now this year, unlike last time when they were at 28%. I thought you would comment on that, but fine.
Yeah, but
the 10 points this year,
okay. Chairperson, I think I agree with what Governor Bosworth is doing in terms of making a mockery. But my other question is to say, in terms of biomass, now when I see a government from, they took the money from Program 5 to other programs. Now my question is,
please raise your voice.
Oh, you can't hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Now should I come nearer?
No, sir. No, you're fine. I think it's now there. I'm sorry
okay.
To call it.
No, Chairperson, my question is, I said I agree with what Honorable Sir said, but I also want to know that when I look at the environment expenditure, where they took the money from the program 5 to do other things, to add on other programs, I don't know, they exceeded 51% of the total budget of program 5. And I believe, or I think that it should be an approval. They should get an approval from the parliament. I just wanted to know if they have got that approved.
Can I get the question again?
I'm saying, in terms of the environment, in terms of their environment, in terms of payment in program 5,
okay.
They took money from program 5 and took it to other programs,
okay.
Which is amounting up to 51%. Yeah? And I know that, or I think that the parliament needs to give approval where they go beyond 8%. Which is not happening. Where did they get that approval? My other question is to say, are they still going to continue with their call center project? Because it does not start now. But every time they took money out of the call center, what do they really want to do about it? Is it still necessary to have call center or not? Other thing is to say, they are not doing that. Is it because they've got too much vacancies? Or what is going to happen? And at this moment, in terms of ICT infrastructure, I thought that the other money will make sure that this call center, because the call center is going to create jobs, you know, it's going to be sustainable. And now, AFCON issued a once-off event. When it comes, it's gone. No more going to be there, no more going to be sustainability of jobs. What are they really thinking? Because when, in the president's speech, you were talking about the infrastructure that we must be the continent that is the economy that is well informed, that has got knowledge. Now how are we going to do that if we are supposed, the money that we are supposed to use for infrastructure, we keep on shifting that money. So it means we are not really having the real thing that we want to do as a country. And then, I think I'll stop there for now, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Comrade Mufula. I think you, let me just be a devil's advocate for a change and be on their side. They are here to, what you call, No, other side of Parliament, on issues of saying they are supposed to ask Parliament. That's why we are here, to ask you to approve it. It has not been approved now. That's why they are here. That's why we invited them here. Because they make this request, I'll tell them.
Are you sure, Chairperson?
Because
for me...
I'll have to respond.
Yeah,
to
because for me when I read this, it's like it already happened. So if, maybe I don't know, the English is not my language, but what I read to you, I thought that it says it, but if not, okay, let's
hear the answer. Make note of this question, and you'll respond. Comrade Faraflon?
Thank you, Chair. I must tell you this. There's a lot of concerns for this committee. But also, and I think it was also mentioned by other honourable members around me, about this the savings that they say. Now, my first question is, how do you use the savings for the SABC and AFCON? That's what you mentioned. What would you do if you didn't have the savings? Where did you get this money to then finance SABC and AFCON? And my second question is, I'm very concerned about 138.9 million rand on the Rural Household Infrastructure Grant. You know, this grant has been underperforming, and that the department has given a rollover of 26 million rand for this grant in 2011. So, that is the Rural Household Infrastructure Grant. That's the 138.9 million. That's the other one that I thought. Sorry, I was wrong, reading it wrong. Sorry, that was my mistake. The problem I had with, it was actually, I want to bring the capital assets. Now, I was on the wrong page here. The one is to bring capital assets, that's 36%. Yeah. Now, capital assets is actually a job creator. And that's why I was a little bit confused with that one. But my big problem is what are they going to increase the situation? How can they improve on the situation? Because at the end of September, only 36% spent on this. But when I come to the job creation, Chief, if you look at this, it is only the projection for 17.32, 17,322. And only 150 was achieved in the second quarter. Am I right?
Yes.
No. So actually the other sentence I mentioned was actually better. The other one. But the point is that is a big concern for me. Of course, you say 150 jobs and your aim was 17.22. Then I think they will have a problem at the end of the year. And that is a big concern for our company. And say then it was also mentioned, you know, it's all about the outcome. Now, if you look at, if your outcome is not good, the outputs are not good, then there is something wrong with the planning. And that brings us to the big problem. There is and I think the department must urgently look at this. There is a big problem with planning in this department. And when we say this, we say this to assist it, not to be, but we must not see that, we must see that as constructive criticism. Not as a negative condition. But that is my personal big complications, big problems I have with this. Thank you, Jim.
The last one, Chairperson. May I? Thank you, Chairperson. Oh, I forgot about the 58 million that they say it's a saving. Yeah, they said the same. How does it become a saving, Chairperson, if you did not say? Maybe I don't understand saving. After that, when a person says I save, I'm just going to make practical example. If I've got 10 rents, and I'm supposed to spend 10 rents, and eventually I manage to get some of the things cheaper, and I manage to save a rent out of it, that is a saving. But you have not spent that 10 rents and you call it a saving. It's underspending in my own understanding, because they've done nothing. How can you say you've saved whether you've started nothing? It's not a saving. Understanding. Thank you, Dr. That's what I wanted to say.
You're right, Commissioner. They are beating the fact. They are at 46% now spending.
And I just want to respond to the issue of Rosebank. If you look at that 10 million that DG Vilakazi was talking about with regard to the telecom transaction or advisory, we actually initiated a process with the minister where we're engaging telecom. It was about the turnaround plan or turnaround strategy that we went through with telecom, which also resulted in us also undertaking a visit to Malaysia and also to visit to Australia. Just understand, in terms of countries that have been successful with regard to broadband, how did they get it right? One of the things that was quite clear, especially with Australia, even across the world, countries that have been very successful with broadband is because of the government has been a critical player. And that study also, you know, gave us a sense of more or less how much are we looking at. Also supported by the study that has been done by Treasury, which we also participated in, which is called Market Investment Modeling. And from our engagement with Treasury, which is also the result of the interdepartmental working group on broadband, which the interdepartmental working group consists of National Treasury, DTI, Economic Development, DST, I'm not sure if there's any other department that I've missed out, or yeah, I think DPC. Now, the estimated or more or less the amount of money that we're looking at for broadband is in the region of a couple of billions rand for us as a country to succeed with regard to the, not only the supply side of broadband, but also the demand side of broadband now. Clearly, for us to deal with this project properly, 100 million is nothing. It's not going to take us anywhere as a country. Now, our view was that let's do this thing properly with Treasury on board. Now, we've got a Treasury transistor with a proper business case. But the business case is going to depend on the model that we're agreeing with the Treasury to say what kind of a model do we look at. The model talks to what kind of a relationship does government enter into with the so-called, whether it's state-owned companies or the private sector. Then the model will then say, how then is the state going to fund the, not only the provision of broadband from the supply side in terms of the infrastructure, but the one critical element that we need to work to note, Honorable Chairperson, is with regard to dealing with the demand of broadband. Maybe let me just give you an example. There are around, estimated around maybe 2,000 schools. Most of the schools we know that they're in areas where, you know, it's in areas where the state will need to subsidize. So if we're talking about, let's say for example, ensuring that every school in South Africa has got access to broadband, the state needs to fund it. So that is the holistic approach that we have taken, which we are assisted by, I think I missed the Department of Public Enterprise when I was talking. And this will assist us to come to a clear business with Treasury on board and the funding, which then once we've agreed with Treasury, it will then be up to how Treasury then assists us in the funding. So the issue of broadband is extremely complex, and 100 million will not even take us anyway as far as broadband is concerned. And I thought maybe let me just bring that context on the table, Honorable Chairperson. And then the next question, so I'm just giving a comment to the outcome.
Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, I think on the 112, why was it budgeted for and not spent? I think we do acknowledge that it has been
Thank you.
the DTA is saying 100 million is nothing in terms of the responsibility that they have to this problem. I just want to ask a question, a sincere question. When did this project of broadband start? How many years? Did it start with it? When exactly? When did you start the process? When did you start budgeting for it? When did you start this project? Yes, no, yeah. When they started submitting, when was it?
That's why,
I don't remember the exact time, but when we started initially, Honourable Member, it was with the approach was with Pentec, where we wanted Pentec to provide the national wireless broadband network. But there was also the issue of funding and the department and treasury not meeting or our minds being reconciled in terms of our approach of being the provider for broadband and the business case that was.
How one the year? When did you start as the Department of Communication budgeting, putting a broadband on your threat plan? Yeah, because you see, we can't be looking at the challenges that you are telling us now. There have been challenges after challenges. And now it's only this year, financial year, you only discover that there are problems and the other stakeholders, I don't know what happened to them. I don't know. I'm trying to say, Chair, this response is not convincing. Because there have been problems after problems on this project, and all these reasons that were given are not making sense to me, and they are not even convincing to us that in the next financial year they will be able to do what are telling us. And the problem, Chair, you are dealing with a department that has no respect of Parliament at all. Does not respect Parliament. DG has just told us that, they have other commitments. And yet, where they are counting, we are at the tail in terms of their priorities. They can only come to Parliament. They are coming to Parliament now. They can respond to any call because we have to approve. So I am not convinced, Chairperson. I looked at they can tell us the budget. They can give us the budget since they've been budgeting for the project. And what is that they've been doing in that money to date in terms of years? We're not going to go anywhere. So can they give us a convincing plan as to whether this project is going to work or this project is not going to work? Is it beyond their power?
Should we believe that their budget in future, if they bring the budget to us, should we believe that this is what really they want to, how they want to utilize the LFA? I mean, that question, I think to me it's a big question. I think just before you come...
let me complete... Let me complete my question. Maybe the DG must tell us the process of planning, the process that they take up to the completion of their threat plan and the performance appraisers, because most of this money, they have budgeted 123 million for a broadband. And then out of that, most money, 65 million, 10 million, the number of up to, I don't know how much has gone to other programs. But it's like it's a department where there is no management. They just sit when they have to, you know, when they have to submit the budget, they just sit and count and just put figures. So I would be interested maybe if they tell us the process, because if they have a process, a professional process, they can never land up into the problem that they are in now. Just that process, a professional one. Because I think before you say you want 123 million, you know why you are saying 23 million. You don't just put 23 million. And you can't put 23 million and later on, 3 months down the line, you are taking that money, you are planting it somewhere else. Where you are planting the money, what did you budget for this program? My colleague has just said, you knew that there's AFCON coming. How did you budget? Is there really a capacity to plan in this department? You must just tell us the truth so that we really don't waste our time. Do you have a problem in terms of planning? Give us that process of planning and coming up with figures and convince us that the budget that we'll come up with, we must approve and know that you are going to work. And the rollover that you want, we must approve. Where we are, I don't think there is a single member of parliament in all these parties that are represented here, including the ANC, that will be happy to say, let's give you this money.
I would like to see, they say they spent 46%. Now, I would love to see the performance targets, the output. Honorable Swartz, 46%, can they align it to the output so that we can really see that it's the value for money? Does it add value to this spending of them? Because for me now, at this moment, there's no alignment in terms of their performance target. But can they just align this so that I can see value for money? Thank you.
Madam Mo, you wanted to help us. Oh, okay. Well, right, the money for broadband, Dr. Vilakazi indicated that they took that money away, and I think the DG confirmed that it's because they felt that it was too small. But you wanted to ask the question, when did the broadband start? Ms. Moore from Tula wanted to assist with that response.
Thank you,
Jay.
The first money was allocated in the 2005-06 year, 500 million towards Sentech.
Honourable members, the questions have not been responded to. They still have a number of questions to respond. But I just need your guidance here. Sorry? Yes. Honourable Yengen says, adding to me is the main question. You started it, Honorable Sarah, this question of saying, have they got the capacity to plan? And Honorable Swart, Honorable Fuller, everyone touched all these questions. But why are we finding ourselves here? And I thought I keep on referring to this 46%. I thought that you would notice that this 46% actually, it's not 46%. If you look at the real thing, it's not 46%. You must look at how much was approved for the department. it has become 46% because a lot of money has been taken away. So now it becomes 46%. So in reality, if you took away the what you call it, you brought back those monies, and then you'll see the true story. You'll see the true story. We, DG, would want to help the department. Would want to help the department. So sometimes we invite you, you don't come. But we have patience.
I just wanted to clarify, and I said I made a mistake on this. I said the 123 is 4%. It's not percent. It's 192. Can they tell us the total amount that they budgeted for percent? Because it's not here.
No, I'm just trying to...
In that planning, because that's a major question. It will be that planning, the process and the planning. And for them to admit in front of us and say, can or we can't. And if they say they can, then they have to answer, why are we lending us? Why are they lending us in this? If they're saying they don't have, then it's a different case. It means we have to take a different approach.
Now, commenting to me, I think that it's not important if you say the amounts are wrong. To me, it's not that important because those amounts, whether it brought bands, whether it is 112, they have not been used for that purpose. But that is the gist of the thing. I think that then the question is, does assist us to allow the department to continue answering this question? Where does it take us? Because I think that to me, I mean, all the members have indicated that is a problem. This is. The first time you appear before the committee, was it at the end of the third quarter? What was it this year? Last year? Excuse me? I think it was the end of the third quarter. You know, we understood that you were taking over from a department that was not stable. It's a pity. We have invited, by the way, all members, as a tradition or as a convention from this committee. Whenever we have a department appearing before us, we invite the colleagues so that they could be with us, so that at the end, they should run with the issues rather than us, because we can't be, monitor all the departments closely. But it's something that we need to share with them. I think the issue that many members, some members have asked this question in different ways, is the budget credible or planning? It comes up to the same thing. So I think the issue that we need to address ourselves to is, Madam Treasurer, I think you must help. I don't know how you have you got the capacity to plan and plan properly? Because as members are saying, when we pass a budget, you have packets here, you're going to create in some I don't know, members, if you have the this adjustment estimate of national expenditure. On page 53, that's where the department is. They have targeted to create 1,700 number of jobs created through ICT-related projects here. They were supposed to be 17,000 per annum. Né? Now, they have created 150. I don't know what percentage is there, but it's less than 7.3% of the jobs. These are not in general. Not the only one, but number of ICT SMB hubs that were supposed to be created, two. Nothing so far.
Well, on the Presidential National Commission, they have overseas from 3 to 4. But on the number of cohorts, what is the cohort to be established? 60 out of 60? There's nothing. Then it goes on and on. Then it's on that page, 263 then. Okay. Now, the issue, BG, is the reason we invited you earlier, the reason we invited you today again is to say is because we see that this is one of the departments that is in the ICU, you know, is struggling with its life to survive. But the issue is, where is the problem? Have you got capacity to plan? We hear what you're saying, that you can't do certain things because other people could do it. But what is it that needs to be done? You are the best people that are placed there. BG spoke about the turnaround strategy that you came around with. Where did you do this turnaround strategy? Can we have access to this turnaround strategy as a committee? How can we, as a committee, be sure? We want to, I mean, this department is important, but it must be right. It is important. That it must work. But it is not going to work under the present circumstances. Where is the problem? Have you got capacity? Is it a question of capacity in the department? Because the truth of the issue is that when money is taken away, the reason for taking away the money is when it is clear that you're not going to pay. In fact, yourself, you have considered that you took the 100 million rand away. Because, but how can you be given 500 million rand when you can spend 100 million rand? Because you must prove that, no, I can spend 100 million rand. Then you'll be given the 500 because you have demonstrated the capacity that you can spend. When you can't spend it, so I can't see Parliament next year coming giving you 200 billion rand. Oh, to do what? Because you have not demonstrated the capacity to spend with the small money that you have. Instead, if you're taking it away, actually, who benefited you taking it away? You wanted to create broadband. So, well, what you have not clarified is that you're saying municipalities have taken this issue upon themselves. You have not clarified your own role in doing that. Maybe you're not supposed to be doing it, supposed to cooperate with them and to ensure that they are taking what they are doing. But the issue is, I think the issue is around the question of planning, colleagues, around planning the credibility of the budget. Have you got the capacity to ensure that if we give you the budget, you'll be able to spend, to budget properly, to spend effectively, to do this thing? So,
it's a reason just before that they will answer that question. That's a major question for us. We have invited this department with six entities. That when they defied and disappear and went to do the most important thing with an accounting parliament. The issues of 65 million that are sent to all these entities of the SABC, I mean of the department, one of the questions that you should be asking as well to the entities was, the entities are also budgeting. And the budgeting of the Department of Communication that they submit to the National Treasury, it has all the budget of this. So this thing of 65 million that has gone to SAPC, we don't know whether SAPC is going to say yes. What happened to the money that is budgeted? Did they budget? So all these things. But UTG has find a very soft and weak. And they can do as they wish. They come when they want to come, and they don't come when they don't want to come. Yeah. Because members of parliament are so weak. They can't do anything. And this, yeah, and this department is the worst of them all. When the chairman says in ICU, it's like, you know, there are other departments that are ailing, but at least they have the capacity to come.
and face Parliament. And then we talk to them, we buy an assistant. Not this one. This one knows it all. They want to come because they must approve. They must answer.
According to performance, I'm looking here in the next year performance data. The percentage of broadband penetration per year, because they have 7%. If they're not yet performed to that. Then I come to number of community radio stations that were supposed to be provided with broadcasting infrastructure per year. They say 16, they say 5. Still, they did not perform. It's built. Number of e-cooperatives established to increase entry of youth-owned small enterprises into the ICT sector. There were supposed to be 60. That's nil. Zero. Then it comes to the number of ICT SMEs hub related. There are supposed to be 2. It's zero. The number of jobs created through ICT related projects per year were 17,322. It's 150. Who are we fooling here around? Because some of the things is where the president announced to say they're going to happen. Are we undermining? Who are we really undermining? Are we undermining the president, the committee, yourself? Because immediately when you fail it, you undermine yourself as a person. So actually what is happening from this department? And we are only, this is the 7th month. They only have those 5 months. How are they going to reach all those things? That's why my question was saying, can they align their spending 43% with the actual? And I don't think, because I'm looking at their performance status and some of the things did not happen.
Now, I think that, honourable members, what I would want to ask the department to pitch is just to focus on this turnaround process. What does this, in broad terms, I'm not saying in details of the turnaround strategy, what does it seek to achieve? Please, yeah.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I must also agree with the Honourable Chairperson that one of the challenges that we actually do have, which is an area that we are trying to address with the turnaround strategy, is the capacity of planning, but also project execution. It's an area that we are working on, and it's an area that we are grappling with. Like, for example, in the turnaround strategy that we put forward, one of the things that we actually put forward is the establishment of the budget committee, which has been established and chaired by DDG Villagasi. Because the challenge that we had in the previous financial year, you'll find that we finalized the strategic plan. When we align the budget with the start plan, you then have a challenge where, you know, the number of projects that people want, you find that the estimated budget that people want exceed the what we have. Now we then have to negotiate the how do we do the allocation. But then you have a second layer of a problem of the execution. So the capacity to plan and the capacity to execute is an area that we are grappling with and we're trying to address. And it's at the core of some of the challenges that we are experiencing. But we as I think internally, it's something that we are aware of, that we are working on to say how do we, like for example, how do we ensure that, you know, with the budget committee chaired by SEM, how do we ensure that the critical people who are contributing to the planning, the execution, how do we ensure that they participate and assist us in moving forward? Like, for example, the one thing that we also did, if you recall, in when we were finalizing, I think it's about, you know, establishing the I think it was in the past financial year, the risk committee. Yes. Because some of these things are also linked to how you deal with your risk. So it's an area that is a work in progress. But I wouldn't, you know, it's a work in progress on the project center.
I appreciate the fact that the after we have asked
these questions, then she confirms that they are the challenges in terms of planning. Now, I don't know when did they discover that, because it's not something that we were told when she started. It's something that, the question that you are asking, and then she agrees that they have problems. Now the thing about this budgeting committee, how is it composed? And what are the responsibilities of the committee? And because it's important for me to know whether this budget committee is going to address the problems that are reflected in the Department of Planning. So who is in this committee and what are responsibilities of this committee?
Now, sorry, Honourable Chair, maybe can I just ask for amendment of your question? Because the question is around the issue of the turnaround strategy. No? They have the turnaround strategy, as they say. But I think maybe what I would want to request, another that I would really want to request from members is that we agree with them that we invite on another day to discuss the turnaround strategy, maybe with the portfolio committee, so that all of us, we can be convinced. You know, another thing that worries me more is when the department says, well, we don't have a CFO, but we intend employing the CFO by the end of the year. There's no sense of urgency about this critical person. So. And all the departments, they've budgeted for posts that they need to employ. They're not employing on the critical, what you call, positions. You know? So I hence the question Honorable Yingin is asking as to who constitutes these things or what. But the request that I'm making, Comrade Yingin, with your intelligence and other members, is that maybe we should invite the department just to come and talk to us about the turnaround strategy. It's important for us to ensure that the budget, your budget is credible. It is important to us. But we must, I'm suggesting that approach to the committee, and then we invite, we'll give the date to the department, not necessarily now, to come and do that with us. Will that be fine?
No, I'm not fine with that. Knowing how this department has behaved, if I can only agree on condition they are telling us now here that they will be here on such a date with all the stakeholders, on all the entities. We can't wait, because this thing of saying we'll come later, when they defy you, you come back to us. They must tell us here in the committee, when are they coming with their stakeholders? No, because we have a problem with this department. We have taken drastic measures that we are not complete with them. So you can't come up with that approach when they will be running after this department and we'll never find them. They must commit themselves here in front of the committee, in front of everybody. When are they coming to present that threat plan? That's what I want.
I agree with you, Comrade, but what I have done, at the beginning of the meeting, I read clause 56, the section 56 of the Constitution. I think it was, it was section 56 of the Constitution, that the National Assembly or any of these committees may summon any person to appear. In other words, we reserve that right. I said it to them. So I'm just requesting that honorable members, we have another department as well. I'm just requesting that, but maybe the question that you're asking can be responded to.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I want the department to commit to. I don't want us to give this to department. We've done that. It never worked. With all what you have read, they must commit themselves in front of us that they are coming with this turnaround strategy with all their entities on such a date. They can go out and look at their diaries, but before they leave, we must be told here before they leave.
Now, Honourable Fellow, I'll give you a chance, Honourable Mashiko, but I just want to say we can't get a date from them. They must get a date from us because we also have our own program. And in our program, we invite them in terms of our own program. That's what we must decide the date. We don't want to do it now or at some other time in the program, but I think that we must decide the date. We can't say tomorrow, they say tomorrow. We have got a program, we must pass this MCDPF and adjustment by the 20th. So we will give them a date and requesting all of them. Honorable Fulo, Honorable Mashiko, I'll give you a chance.
Chairperson, all I want, I'm not them to, because I can see they also known as a CFO. And in terms of the Public Service Regulation Section 5B, it does not allow you not to have an executive to a vacant executive position for more than 6 months. So they must also be able to come and tell us when, or they must come with their CFO here. For a long
time? Yes, in the CFO. Dr. Vilagazi at one stage been acting, other gentlemen, has not been CFO for a long time.
Hence I'm saying, hence I'm making it clear to them, to say they must make sure that when they come there is a CFO, or they can't say it till the end of the year. They must make sure that sooner or later that position is filled. But I'd also like to feature President, I think the Comrade Engineer, let them give us a date. If Tina, we feel that that date we are occupied, and then we tell them that no, that date is not right for us. This is the date that we are giving it to. But now they must buy, because they like to run. This has been here twice, meetings they did not arrive. So it means now they are gone forever. If they will need them to be loose. So let them, we will give them to say, okay, we agree with your date, with the letter, or we don't agree with the letter. They must bind the bill. Thank you, Chairperson.
You want us to give them the date? There's our program. We can do that. But we want it to be nice, really, and give them time that will suit them, so that we can look around. But if you want to do the right thing, because the right thing you are right, you have to give them dates. There are the dates in front of you. Give those dates to them, sir. Give them the dates. Please.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the department is... Thank you. I think the department is aware of what we want, and they've been aware all along since we started seeing them, and they had all these problems about the helpline, 112 helpline, and the broadband, and the Suntech, that it needs to appoint a CFO and all these things. They know that we are aware of those things. That's why they're trying to use all these presentations as if we don't know what they want. Because when they come here, they know that they want us to adjust the appropriation. And they shouldn't use new information which we already know and which is to some extent not as credible as we would expect it to be. Because you know they push away this money to those other SSI jobs. DG told us that they transfer 70% of their budget. So we are not shocked if they tell us that they are in line. Their core functions must be in line with what their budget is, and that's what we are grappling to get from them. And they told us they have established a risk committee. We thought it could have assisted them up to now to address all the gaps that they had, because in her first meeting, the DG told us about the establishment of that risk committee, which was definitely going to help them. Now we are going to the budget committee, which, as Honorable Yengel said, I wonder how different is its functions, because the risk committee was going to help them in managing their budget. So we feel, I align myself totally with what Honorable Yengel has said, that you should call this department as soon as possible. And if they can run some stations like radio, community radio stations and all these things, they look at an entity within themselves, or let it be supervised at the municipalities, because they are talking about municipalities. We can try by all means to assist them to make sure that they spend their money. let them come out with all the proper planning as soon as they come, because we are looking at this adjustment and again the MCBPS, MTEF, which is really going to affect what they are going to tell us, and we should seriously look at what they are supposed to get and what they are able to spend, and the time they should give us should be as soon as possible, because we want to be very sure of what we are doing in the MTBF, EF, 2030. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I have consulted with my colleagues. The date that we are proposing is 28 November, so that we can allow to invite all entities, and so that all entities can also prepare. So it will be us and all our entities. It's only Wednesday. We just assume that because today is Wednesday, so Wednesday should suit the committee better.
Now, I was reluctant to allow you to speak first because you come with a date now. We are passing the adjustment and MCBPS on the 20th. Now, we have the 14th. That is open to us.
And for us to convince to approve. Yeah.
So that when you go to appropriation adjustment in Parliament, in the House, it's because we know that that's how you know. What you're saying is that we are passing the budget in a week's time on the 20th. Now we'll talk to what you call it. They are not going to pass the DG is showing me that on the 14th they have an invitation here in Parliament to the Select Committee. But the Select Committee is not going to pass the adjustment on the 20th. They are passing it later. I think that we will request you to communicate with them that it's urgent that we meet on the 14th. But,
I will request that we agree that Honorable Mashif also talk to the chair of the Select Committee.
The Select Committee that you're talking about, is it for communication?
No.
Appropriation. Appropriation. Which one? I gave a difficult because the committees have got a cluster, you know, called labor, né? But now it's fine. We really request that you speak to them, and I'm not sure if we will try to speak to them as well because of the agency of this matter. Né? But that's honored members. We are agreed on the 14th, but that's one thing that I want to take out from the planning of the department. It's the issue of AFCON. If you remember, AFCON was supposed to be held in Libya. Because of the issues in Libya, they requested to have it in South Africa. So, and then it came as a second thought kind of situation. So I would just like us not to focus too much on issues that revolve around AFCON, because they could not have foreseen that AFCON will be in the world. That's why, if you notice that with a number of departments, yesterday we passed the TV, I'm letting you come with questions. Yesterday we, on the thing of revenue, we passed for health, for other things, because it's just a special thing. But that doesn't take away the rest of the planning of the department, what we have said. Comrade Marshall?
I was coming to that, because this AFCON is going to make many departments do exactly what they did to us during 2010. Everybody in a little program about AFCON, calling it legacy, calling it that, and nothing saying about it. And on those words, they should actually give us a breakdown of what this man is going to do for them, AFCON. Because we've already got issues about AFCON, and we have issues about the World Cup, where each and every country took money and said they were going to use it for AFCON, and couldn't know what they did about it. And National Treasury wouldn't even tell us if there was any legacy program, because we asked that question and they were shocked, because departments were telling us, every department was saying money had gone to World Cup. When they knew that they were using that money for what, we couldn't understand. So if they can give us a breakdown, because it's a lot of money, it's 65 plus 16 million, which is quite a lot. Thank you.
Honourable members and the department, we are agreeing on the 14th. If the minister is there, we can appreciate it. But by the way, I omitted an important thing, Nelson Sharp. I omitted a very important thing. The minister really sent a written apology. I received that apology by yesterday. I think it would have been unfair not to mention that she would have loved to come, but because of the cabinet. And again, on the 14th, it's been a cabinet day. But I think that if she's aware, as early as now, that on the 14th, we're having this meeting with those entities, it would be appreciated if she joins the, what you call, department. On that note, thank you very much for coming.
I'm not sure.